Hello there. The boys and the girls on Footy Prime show can sometimes get a bit out of control. Yeah, they'll say words that might not be suitable for children. So use your full discretion when you're playing this around your family. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinking JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah, Wunga probably jumped off the dark web a little bit. He jumped off too early. Something he's probably well used to.
He did a backflip off of the dark web.
Yes, he did. It's getting good traction on the socials, old Wunga's half-naked mid-air pirouette.
It's and his good. Small hook.
It's tiny hook. It's pretty prime. Pretty prime on lead guitar. We got Jimmy Brennan. On the drums, we got JC. Lead vocals, we got Amy Dubs Walsh.
Clearly on bass. Thank you.
No. You talk more than anyone, so you're definitely lead vocals.
Oh, boy.
She can really
fine bass. Fine bass. No damn wrong, yeah.
You're definitely bass.
Bass.
I'll be McCartney, lead singer and bass.
Look, you can do both.
Mm-hmm.
You can do both, yeah. Wunga has been kicked out of the band. No, he'll be joining us at some point, we think, as Craig will at some point soon, the next few days, weeks. Craig's out west right now. He's a busy man, so he'll jump on as soon as he possibly can. So we've got a guest later today in about 15 minutes. Have you ever wanted to own a football club? And where would it be? And how would you start building that club? Well, Steve Najar has done just that in Spain. And we'll talk to him about FC Racing Madrid. Yeah, not much competition for football in Madrid. So it should be an easy build. We'll ask him about that. So that's later in today's show as these dog days of summer continue. But got some big news. Well, not big news. It's not big news yet, but we think it's going to be big news. And that is, of course, Thomas Müller to the Vancouver Whitecaps. Really frigging exciting. And I know there's people out there who are saying, yeah, it's another typical, you know, retirement song for an aging star. Maybe, but he's still got some gas in the tank, I think, Jimmy. If you're a Vancouver Whitecaps fan, should you be excited or should you be leery that this could go the Steven Gerrard route?
I personally would be excited because I'd want to see a world-class player like him playing for my team, especially with the players surrounding cast, you know, with Nelson and Savi, Berhalter, Kubas, Gando, the list goes on. You got fullbacks that bomb on. So there's not going to be any limits when it comes to service and delivery into him. So for me, I think it'd be fantastic. I think it'd be a good fit.
So we got a comment on yesterday's show on YouTube. This is from a junior Canuck One. I find it interesting that you guys like the potential deal of bringing Müller to Vancouver because I just listened to TSN, Stephen Caldwell and Kevin Coban on their podcast, and they don't like it at all. Despite Müller's great reputation, they feel that he would be a bad fit for the dogged, grinding and very fast-paced and hard-running style that Vancouver plays. Müller is older and slower, and he would need wingers to feed him. Personally, I'm not sure either way, but it would definitely be interesting to see how Vancouver would have to change their style somewhat to make it work for Müller. Now, listen, I will never get into an argument with the likes of Stevie and Kevin there because they know more about football and their little fingers than I do, certainly tactically. However, I know Dubs and you, Jimmy, you both actually played the game at the highest level, so you have got an opinion. Dubs, your thoughts on what Stevie and Kevin said there?
I think that there's some credence to it. Obviously, I respect those guys a lot as well. But as I said yesterday, it's adding Müller to the pieces and to the structure, the foundation that they already have, and a clarity about the way that they play. And you're just dropping him his brilliance, his excellence, his quality into that. And when you think about Vite, is it going to be a like-for-like replacement, Müller for Vite? No, I think that some of the box-to-box work and like that metronome play in the middle of the park will have to be taken over by the likes of Berhalter or Ngando when he's in there. You obviously have Kubas, who sits a little bit deeper. More is that classic six. So, I mean, Mueller, I think I see him playing a little bit higher. You still have that consistency and like the brilliance in that midfield, but he's playing a little bit higher. He's linking up. He's finding those spaces. And I think he just makes them more dangerous on the attack. And I think that he will be able, through his intelligence and his tactical savvy, his footballing IQ, figure out a way to conserve energy. You said yourself, Sharms, was it yesterday or maybe it was off air? Like, he's never had the pace, but he still has always had the ability to break a game wide open. So I don't see it being, I mean, if this does go through, and by all indications it will, that this will just elevate an already extremely good Vancouver Whitecaps team.
Yeah, I agree with Dubs. I mean, you look at this Vancouver side. I mean, they've got 42 goals in 24 games. They know how to attack. They know how to create. They know how to score goals. You're just adding another player to your arsenal that's going to improve your attacking movements up top and creativity. How could this not be a good fit? Now, you're not talking about a team that can't score goals and maybe only has 18 goals so far this season in 24 games. This is a team that can create opportunities and score. So how can he not fit in this side? He's going to get the service.
And listen, let's not compare the Whitecaps to Bayern Munich. Different beasts entirely. And he's had truly world-class wingers throughout his time at Bayern Munich, which goes back a very, very long time. Back to Arjen Robben, Frank Ribery. Remember Ribery playing at Bayern Munich? Mm-hmm. That weird one and how great he was there. Sané, Musiala, Fonzie, of course, you know, from fullback. So let's not compare them, but I mean, they have got wingers at Vancouver. So, but I mean, what Stevie and Kev say, I mean, it's valid that it is a dogged style of football that Vancouver play, a high tempo, high pace game. But I just think that Müller's such a smart player, such an intelligent footballer.
Yeah.
He's going to find a role there, right? He's going to fit in there somehow. And like we said yesterday, this isn't a player you're going to build the team around at this point in his career. It is the strawberry on the cake, as Manu Petit would say, right? Mm-hmm. Dubs loves.
Yes.
That's what it is. He's purely a luxury player who doesn't need to play necessarily every match. When the games get big and important, what a nice option to have. So I think you should be excited, truly excited. Hey, Wong has joined us. I'm not sure he's aware that he's joined us just yet.
I did.
Considering
quite an angle.
A cinematic angle.
Is this the Martin Scorsese version of Footy Prime?
It is. It's the angle I'm coming up with is the Jimmy Brennan forgetting that his power cord was about to fail and he has to race off to Best Buy.
That's right. The accidental roll.
Very nice.
Yeah. No, I can fix it. I've been having technical difficulties because as you can tell,
as he loses timing. The perfect timing. Yeah, he loses his mic. You have no audio now, Wonga, as you're shifting your computer around there.
Where are you? The storage unit?
We still lost him. No, he's not there.
I think he's muted.
You can talk all you want, Wonga, but I can't hear you right now. So back to the Thomas Müller. I think you should be excited, Vancouver fans. We'll see what happens, right? But he is 35, and you know the grind of MLS has you know sidelined other players of his age, and the pitch and pitches at certain stadiums aren't great. But yeah, listen, be happy, be excited. I think this is a potential to be just what Vancouver needs, Dubs, to push on, because they're still, I think, they're a point back of San Diego in first place, despite dropping some points recently with all the injuries and international call-ups.
Yeah.
Things are okay in Vancouver still. And you threw this, I mean, you tell me, when you throw a guy like him in there, who apparently is just an incredible teammate, he's a big personality, hilarious guy, he's so funny, he's so unfootball-like, right? I think when you see him interviewed, that's not a footballer. I think he's a brilliant character. That can lift the team too, right?
Of course it can. And that is definitely, to use the Manu Petit expression again, the strawberry on top of the cake, because despite all of the quality that you're going to get in the footballer, you get everything else off the pitch in terms of the human being that you're bringing in. And that's just a bonus. Yeah. But I mean, did you guys know this? Like, I don't watch a tremendous amount of German football. Obviously, know Thomas Müller because he's legendary in German football, international game as well, playing for country, but also for that club for an incredible amount of years. Do you know what his nickname is?
Tommy Boy.
It is not. Well, it might be in certain circles.
That's pretty good. Good guess.
Yeah, it's Raum Deuter. R-U-M, Deuter, and it's the German word.
That was mine in high school, Raum Deuter.
I thought so. It fits. But it's German for space interpreter.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
And
the IQ.
I'm going to give credit here. This is an article from The Province by Patrick Johnson. And it's a great article, just talking about how he's going to fit in and this deal potentially getting over the line. And, you know, he's unorthodox. This is Lowe talking about him, who coached them at the 2014 World Cup. And he said,
Yogi Love. That was Yogi Love was his love. V, not W. Love, okay. Not Lowe.
I think we have to have a chat with human resources, Charm.
Yeah, I think I'm vying for Charms for the most mispronounced names on this podcast.
Angelotti and Love. All right, yeah, now we're even. Right.
I know. So his quote is that he's a very unorthodox player and you can't really predict his lines of running, but he has one aim and that is, how can I score a goal? That makes him so dangerous, especially in the box. So again, you're dropping a player in, as you said, Charms, you're not going to attempt to build the team around him or shift your tactics or your philosophy. I think he's going to adapt to what Sorensen's doing and just add a layer of sophistication to their attack and his ability to unlock defenses.
Yeah. He has a fox in the box.
At least he was. I mean, who knows? I mean, I remember when he first scored his first World Cup, he scored a ton of goals. And is he not the leading World Cup goal scorer? He's right up there. Because let's look it up. As a young player, he was just dominating in international football. And I remember talking about him. God, I feel so old now, Jesus, when he was young. And saying, this guy's going to smash Gerd Müller's record. And did he? I don't know, but he scored a lot of World Cup goals anyway. And I think it was Raphael Honigstein, who's a brilliant football writer. And he is German football mainly. But he wrote a piece, I think it was years ago, about Gerd Müller, Thomas Müller, and it broke him down how he was knock-kneed, how he just didn't have the typical footballer's profile, yet he was absolutely incredible. So I'm so excited this move happens. And Stevie and Kev, listen, we should get them on the show, have like a crossover.
Yes, we should. Pod,
right, because their pod's great as well. Only once a week, though. sorry, you know, they're not working that hard, fellas, are you? But we'll get them on at some point to talk about Gerd Müller. Gee, I'm going to keep doing it. Thomas Müller. Gerd Müller was pretty good as well. So listen, I mentioned we have a guest today. I asked a question before we started today's show. If you were to buy a football club, we all want to buy a football club at some point. Any football fan listening to this show wants to at some point own a football club. And you've all thought about it. You know you have. How do you build a football club? Where do you start? Well, our guest today has done just that. Not only in Spain, but in Madrid. He is the owner of FC Racing Madrid. Steve Najjar joins us. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. How's life as a football club owner?
Well, first, good morning to everybody, and thank you for having me on this amazing show. I never thought I'd be seeing you guys on here, so what a surprise. What a great morning to be alive, to be on your shows. Where do I start? My God, I never thought I'd be doing this. Backstory is, I used to own a club in Brampton called Brampton Hitmen in the CPSL days. So business has been in my blood since I was a young man. And what took me to Madrid was my son actually plays for Rayo Vallecano in their academy. He's a goalkeeper. And while I was there, his agent, who became a good friend of mine, and he goes, listen, you know what to do? Why don't we get a club? I said, well, let's do it, but here's my thing. If I want to buy a club, I want to buy a club in the lower division, have the challenge. to have it promoted to the first division, second division. I love a challenge. My background, I was a professional boxer as well as a footballer, but that boxing thing is still in my blood. So I said, I'm ready for a challenge. And we went and bought the license for a club and says, okay, listen, I go, we got to start fresh. We got to get a different club name. And we picked Racing Madrid 1914, not realizing that this club had vast amount of history. This club was the third oldest club in Madrid, next to Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid. They used to be rivals. The club used to have the best coaches in the country, best players. Matter of fact, there's a book written on the club about 3 years ago as well. Not knowing we had resurrected a historic club, and here we are today.
It's some story. So tell me, fast forward to today, I mean, the fan base, obviously in Madrid, you got a bit of competition there. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Right? So this is obviously a long build, right? It's a big picture type thing. Are you getting support? Are you getting some, you know, perhaps, obviously, this club folded originally in the 30s, I think it was. So not too many fans from those days, but perhaps family recruits from back in those days. I mean, how is the fan base right now?
Yeah, well, we're still looking for those fans that used to support us back in the day, but I can't seem to find any right now. listen, it's been a tough road. You'd be surprised. Again, there's a historic part in everything that we're doing. We've been having such a difficult time looking for a stadium, looking for a home. And oddly enough, my club had built a stadium in Vallecas in the 20s, and they ran out of money, and then they just decided to move up north in Madrid and left the stadium. Now, Rayo Vallecano is using that stadium right now. And that was our stadium that our club had built. So to find that stadium has been so, so tough. So that's been our first major hurdle. So we've been just playing out of this very little 1,000, 1,200 seat, a little stadium. And we finally moved out of there this month into the outskirts of Madrid, called Rayo Molinas, 5,000 seat stadium, very big. The city's welcoming us. So now the fan base can actually begin, because we have a stadium. We have roots now where we're going to plant our flag, and our marketing team's actually starting to do that this month. It's not been easy, and Madrid is the mecca of football, but you know, even trying to get a field to play on, it is so tough. It's not been easy being a Canadian. I don't speak the language very well. Well, I don't speak it at all, actually.
No, you're doing well in English. You're doing good. We understand you, Steve.
Trust me. Being from Punjab, India, it was a tough language for me to learn. Sometimes I still got to shake my head a little bit when I'm talking.
Our players, you know, Jimmy and Craig Forrest, they often talk about when they went to England and their passport really counted against them, you know, to get that respect. Obviously, the language barrier, but the fact that you are Canadian, it has been a barrier for you to get that respect from authorities, fans, etc.
It has. It really has. I mean, my very first trial was in Chelsea in England, and I still remember in 1986. And you know, they were referring me as Gretzky. He goes, what are you doing here playing football? You should be playing hockey, right? Because that's what we're known for as Canadians. So it's been a tough road, but not as tough as I thought it would, because I've traveled the world. I know how it is. There's always going to be the people that are going to be against you, no matter where you go, whether it's our home here, it doesn't matter. So I just got to sort of overlook that and saying, listen, we have a mission. I'm actually going to their country to make a difference in their community. And that's the way I've always looked at it. So yes, to the language barrier, my whole thing is I start teaching them English instead. If I can't communicate, I start, and I'm being honest, this, you speak the language? I said, no, let me teach you English a little bit. And we have a good chuckle with it.
So you're in the lower leagues, obviously, Spanish football. Is it fully amateur or is it semi-pro at that level? Whereabouts are you?
We just got promoted. Our first promotion, we're in Tercera division. Tercera is a very, very big division in Madrid. Atletico Madrid, the C team plays in there. Getafe plays in there. Rayo Vallecano reserve team plays in there. This just got promoted to second ref. Alcorcón, They're in the third division. Their reserve team plays in there. So we're like, we got some guys that are going to be full-time and some guys are part-time. So it's semi-pro, but it's pro. We train in the, we're going to start training in the morning. We're setting up our reserve team. We're setting up our international residence academy now to give these youngsters an actual environment where they can flourish and grow in football, like what my son is doing, what he did there.
How has it been recruiting players? Okay, maybe trying to get young Canadian players over into your environment?
You know what? Recruiting players over there has not been an issue because they've been coming to us. The word got after first season was very tough because nobody knew us. They couldn't trust us. They didn't know what the project was about. Second year was way easier. Third year, when people saw that the captains were staying, other guys were staying, it was easier. Oddly enough, we wanted to sign our first Canadian kid this Saturday. And I had heard he was a good player. My partner saw him while he was visiting me here. And I said, okay, meet me Saturday. You know, we'll do everything. And guess what happened?
What?
Take a wild guess.
He signed with somebody else.
He signed with Madrid.
The kid was a no-show.
No.
It didn't show? Really?
Didn't show. We waited for 45 minutes. A no-show. To be very honest, when it comes to the players, because of my son moving to Spain, playing there, I have learned so much that it's not even about the playing. It's more about your characters and more about how you are in a certain environment. It is, how are you going to flourish? Are you going to drown? We've got kids there arrive that come and they leave overnight because they can't take the pressure of the loneliness. It's a completely different. You're leaving your mom, dad, brother, sisters, home, your pets, and the majority of the kids can't take it. So I don't know what happened with this kid. Never heard from him.
Is that, well, piggybacking on, sorry, Sharms, on Jimmy's question about recruitment, is there an interest for you? I mean, obviously your sole focus is this build and moving up your fifth tier now, you were saying?
Yes, we're in fifth tier right now, and we're going to push for another promotion, just like what Ryan Reynolds did. I mean, yeah. I'm an actor, but I'm no means big as Ryan Reynolds. But we'll take his team on any single day and show him how it's really played in Spain.
So I was going to say about the recruitment, is there an interest for you being from Ontario and growing up here to put roots down here and connect clubs and make it like a multi-club model eventually so that you have that pipeline of talent perhaps going from, you know, one continent to another?
Absolutely, Amy. Matter of fact, right now I'm in talks with League One to get a League One team. Matter of fact, I just got a letter from Mayor Brampton yesterday supporting this whole concept. The chief of police, the Peel police, is completely supporting this cause as well. I am talking possibly picking up a youth club here as well. So to what you say, absolutely complete the model. So we ease them into what they need to do. It's just not good enough for us to take kids from here. And mind you, we got some amazing kids here. Oh, my God. It's crazy. And I'm the biggest believer in CPL. I support it. I talk to people. It's amazing football. I watch it while I'm over there with my son. So thank you for always supporting it and pushing it. And we need that. I played in the CSL with the Toronto Blizzard back in the day. So I know what it meant to be in that environment. To going back to Amy's question, absolutely. It's important and it's imperative that I do this because I just want to show the parents and the kids that you cannot go into an environment, whether it's Italy, Germany, England, Spain, Portugal, for a week. And Jimmy, you don't know what I'm talking about, is expect these kids to perform. That's number one. And then have it called a trial. It doesn't work. And those are my personal experiences because A, you're coming to a country. B, you're in a different environment. Three, you're going there to take away minutes from a Spaniard kid or Portuguese or a German or Italian. And that ain't going to happen. On top, the coaches don't want any disruption in their system. So how do we do that? How do we now help our Canadian kids succeed? One is they're already on the national team here. They got a great name. It makes it easy for them. But what about the rest? The way I personally learned is put them in that environment over time. Take them there for 2-3 months at a time, over summer breaks, over the holidays. And so the coaches are becoming aware of who they are. Now they're getting into the system. And once they're in the system actually starts carrying the players over there. Then the rest falls into place. Hey, can they handle the pressure? Can they handle being away from home? And so on and so forth.
You mentioned Wrexham. I mean, they're the outlier, right? You throw enough money at something, eventually it's going to work. I think in sports, that's kind of how it works. And they're tossing a ton of money. And we're all looking forward to seeing Wrexham play this year in the championship. Mm-hmm. What is your time frame for this? Because a lot of clubs, they do it too quickly. And they accelerate and they throw money in and then it backfires on them. Do you have a time frame? And what is the big picture goal here in 20 years from now?
Yeah,
ideally, where is Racing Madrid?
The difference between Wrexham and us is while Ryan Reynolds is having a steak dinner inside a restaurant, we're looking in with our coupons for 2-for-1 Burger King.
Knocking on the glass.
Exactly. Saying, hey, how's your steak tasting? It is a long-term project, and we're throwing money at it, but we're not throwing money at it. Listen, I'm Punjabi. I'm Indian, right? We always want a deal. So we look for deals everywhere we go, whether it's the stadium, the players, we talking to them. It's a different way of looking at things from my glasses, my perspective, because I'm not Ryan Reynolds, but we're getting the results of a Ryan Reynolds because of a experience, the involvement of people. And I just been around the game my entire life and the business aspect of it as well. So what I'm saying, James, is, so no one can come, my operations or my sporting director can't come and saying, hey, I love this player, this and that. I can take a look at the player saying, like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you looking at that I'm not seeing? Prove it to me. And then I can turn around and say, no, we're not going to go this route because we can't afford to take chances for 3 games and this guy fails. Right? So the long term is... In 8 years, 10 years, to get back to La Liga. That is my goal with the club. La Liga is where I want to take the club back to again.
That was some story.
Sorry, I was going to say, I know we're talking about your club and we could keep asking you tons of questions about it, but you, the person, like you've alluded to a bunch of different things and I have to know. So you as a goalkeeper, who did you model yourself after? Like who was your role model as a goalkeeper? Who did you idolize? And then now, are you still an actor and what would be your dream role?
Peter Shilton was my idol. Shilton, absolutely. And then second one was Ray Clements. I absolutely modeled myself with against Peter Shilton. Anyone came into my 18-yard box, I knocked the shit out of them.
Amazing.
I didn't care. My studs were up. My fists were in their face. So I modeled myself after that. My dream role, wow, I never thought about that. We're working on a futuristic film right now. All my films been English films, mainstream. Amy, the first time actually I'm going to do an Indian film. We're working on a Punjabi film, and I'm looking forward to a futuristic film. I got my team working on the special effects right now. I'm very passionate about filmmaking. I absolutely am so passionate. Matter of fact, my first film was Final Goal on soccer with Eric Estrada in 1993.
Punch. Chips.
Well, look it up. It sold in 68 countries back in 95.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna
the final goal. The final goal put Steve Niger and it'll pop up.
Okay. That's
great. Yeah. So
okay. Sorry, go ahead.
So my dream, you know what? Wow, you made me think, what would be my dream role? I don't know. I never thought about it. I just like to produce and star in action films and jump off buildings and make some good B film stuff that people can enjoy and saying, what a shit film. It's okay, but at least you watched it.
Yeah, 68 countries. I mean, who cares? That's amazing.
Exactly.
So you're a film producer, an actor. You're a professional footballer. You're a professional boxer.
Yes.
You want to hear about.
Yeah. Boxing, it's in my blood. Well, I'm a Sikh, right? We love to fight, not in a bad way. We're warriors. We're majority of us are in the military in India, so it's been in my blood. I was a black belt in martial arts, in Taekwondo. I was doing my second film, Safety Zone. I was doing a stunt in between two cars. I was supposed to jump out, but the guy accelerated too much, and my ankle got caught in between the bumpers. And then from there, I was in crutches. And one day I was just punching the bag at the gym. The guy said, "You're not bad." And I go, "Really?" And one thing led to another. Ended up being trained by Adrian Tedrescu. He was a gentleman that coached Lennox Lewis in the Olympics when we won our first gold. So I had the opportunity to train with Lennox Lewis, fight in the same card as Trevor Burbick, fight in the same card as Billy the Kid. Boxing is something I'm very, very passionate about as well. Pure sport. I can't bullshit anybody. If I lost and I got the shit kicked out of me, I can't make up an excuse. I lost and I got the shit kicked out of me.
The movie didn't look good on the screen.
No, it did not. So I absolutely love that. And matter of fact, I always encourage my players to get into boxing for preseason, because I did do that with the Brampton Hitmen for the season I took over as a coach. For a month and a half, it was all boxing, and we ended up winning the championship because boxing just gives you a different mindset. It is just different look, different feel. And I tell people, you cannot say, "Hey, let's go and let's hope we win this game." Now, can you imagine as a fighter, any fighter in the world saying, "Listen, I'm going to go and I hope I win this game, fight." You can't do it. You got to go in already saying, "I already knocked this guy out." So now you sort of transfer that to 11 players saying, "Guys, we've already won the game and let's go win it." It's a completely different mindset that the boxing brought to my life than I like to bring to the people around me. And so people know that around me, you do not use the word hope. You do not use the word try. As soon as you do that, I say, "Listen, if you can't stop using it, it's better that you do not be in my circle, because we're going to do this one way or another. It's going to get done. We got to go win this. I don't care what you do. We got to go get that win in life, on field or off the field." So that's my boxing, acting. I've been very blessed. I've lived I don't know how many lives, and I've done well at it. It wasn't like I just tried it. It's just been a progression, and I kept those projects going all along.
So the entrepreneurial spirit was there before boxing and during boxing?
Yeah, it's been there since I was a kid. It's been there since I was a kid, because James, the truth of the matter is, when we came to Canada, I couldn't speak English. I had hair, I had a turban, I got beat up a lot. And it was very difficult for me to learn language. So, but my mind and my imagination was going wild and crazy. And so I tell my kids, my sons, or anyone, I mean, I go, imagine things, visualize things, and just go after your dreams, because it's a wonderful world that no one can get in here, as long as those are positive thoughts. And we all have the power to achieve so much more that we leave on the table. And last thing I'll say about that is there's in the military, there's 60-40 rule. And they say, when you're totally exhausted, you can't even stand up, you can't walk, you can't think, you've only gone 60% of what you actually have. You still got 40% left in you. So can you imagine what we're all made out of? And I always sort of follow that in my life every day.
That's really interesting, because I find, like, when I go talk to young kids, whether it's schools or teams, I talk about the way that I grew up playing a bunch of different sports, and then try to espouse that, talk to them how important it is that you don't specialize too early. But being a team sport kid, like, I always knew that I wanted to play on a team. Like, that was a big part of kind of who I was, and I wanted to be part of that. I love the energy about it. But running and the individual approach and what it taught me about myself and existing in discomfort and how far I could push myself out of my comfort zone, that was critical to me understanding that on the football pitch. So that 60-40 rule is tremendous. Like, I'm going to steal it for sure the next talk I give.
No, absolutely, because our mindsets are so weak as even athletes. It's just like, "Oh my God, no, you got to be." here's the thing, being of the military background for my entire race and my father and my uncles and my cousins being in the military, you have to have this mindset of, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill whoever I got to kill as my enemy. Now, it happens everywhere in the world. We take a 16 or 17 year old kid that haven't left home, you know, doesn't know how to wipe his nose properly, you know, lives in the basement, and you take the same kid 3 years later in the military. In 3 years later in the military, he's actually killing people. So what changed? So what changed is they tore everything off and they rebuilt. And the same thing can happen in football. We can take an athlete, we can take everything apart, and we can put them back together. So we have the talent. But what about the work ethics, the mentality, the emotional, the spiritual, all that? We can do that. So what I'm trying to say is we can create athletes. We can create champions. Ronaldo is a great example of that. It's his hard work. It's hard ethics. So I live off of that. I say, listen, don't worry about the talent part. That's going to run out a certain time when you're on the field or in the ring. But let's talk about your heart and your work ethics and how emotionally vested you are. So absolutely, that's how I like to think.
What weight class do you fight at?
I was at middleweight.
Middleweight, yeah?
Okay. I'm freaking super heavyweight now, but I was at middleweight.
Do you still get in the ring to stay in shape?
Yeah, I hit the bag. So in the ring, listen, I'm 60 now. So in the ring, they're going to start hitting me back. Least bag won't hit me back.
Yeah. It's a great workout though, isn't it? The heavy bag.
Oh, one of the best. Three times a week, I'm on the bag. And I urge everybody in the world to get into the boxing ring at one point or another. It'll tell you who you actually are. It really will.
I had one fight for charity. And it was honestly one of the highest sporting experiences of my life. This the rush you get. It was three rounds. If there was a fourth, I would have been on the canvas. I had nothing left. I've never been so exhausted in my life.
But isn't it amazing?
God, and the love you have for your opponent afterwards.
You become friends.
You do.
You become friends. I had a fight in Turning Stone Casino. I fought American, and the guy came in 2 pounds overweight, and I was exhausted from losing weight. I made weight, and they're saying, the commission said, you don't have to take this. And my training was, yeah, we're here. We're not going to walk away from the fight. And I took the fight. He beat me, but I gave it to him. And after the fight, he turns around. He goes, listen, I want to fight you again. I said, brother, you already beat me. He goes, no, I have so much respect for you that you took the fight. And you gave me a fight back, even though I was exhausted from the weight loss. And there's those things that is hard to explain. But isn't it funny, James, when you're fighting in there, everything is so slow and you can actually hear everybody. But it's such a weird dimension that you're in. It's like, what the hell's actually happening?
It's like television almost, right? Yeah. You're so focused. And you see everything coming towards you, but I still couldn't stop the punches coming. They're still connected.
You're Bob and Lee, boom.
Yeah. So when I'm sparring, I'm much more loose. But yeah, it's incredible. It is. Listen, Steve, we could talk forever. We'll get you back on the show for sure. But yeah, thank you so much for this. It's a fascinating project, FC Racing Madrid. And we'll be talking about it, I dare say. And once the season kicks off, well, next month, right, I guess?
Yes, next
one. We'll follow it, and we'll get you back on at some point during the season, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I'm very humbled to be on the show. I've been watching you guys from the outside in for a long, long time. To be part of you guys now for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, it's an absolute honor. Thank you so much. I need the support. Whether I'm at the end of the day, I am a Canadian, and whether I'm doing football, there is still for me is Canadian football. If everybody that's watching out there, please follow us on Instagram, Racing Madrid 1914 FC. Greatly come along on the journey. As I said, I'm no Ryan Reynolds. I don't have a TV show yet, but follow us and follow our journey. And I so thank you. And I hope we continue staying in touch. This is a wonderful conversation.
We will, absolutely. Thanks so much, mate. And good luck. And we'll chat to you really soon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Steve. Best of luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is Steve Niger. I don't know where to begin. That was fascinating.
It really was. Like,
you meet these people, right? Certain people, and you just don't know where the energy comes from. And then you talk to them, you kind of get an inkling. Okay, these people are wired a little bit differently than the average Joe, right? You're going to succeed no matter what you do. You try everything. I mean, professional boxer, professional footballer, actor, filmmaker, football club owner. I'm exhausted just saying that, you know?
Renaissance man. Like, what has he not done?
The most interesting Punjab in the world.
See, like a day in the life of Steve, right?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine that. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy and Steve could go a couple rounds, eh?
Yeah.
That would be fun. Jimmy hasn't been in. When was the last time you punched a bag, Jim? Jim.
This morning was the podcast.
Yeah, I punched a bag this morning. Steve, in a couple weeks, my son, he's got his first fight, and I think in 2 months.
Oh, that's amazing.
Jimmy, we've got to come out and watch that.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. I love watching
him. He's a very good boxer, Phoenix.
Really?
My son. Really, really good.
Like, my granddad,
my granddad was a welterweight champ boxer. My dad boxed. Yeah. Boxed in Ireland.
Jimmy boxed in an elevator heading up to the penthouse.
They were all southpaws. Phoenix is a southpaw as well. My grandfather. Yeah.
So Phoenix, he's like, this could be a thing for him?
Yeah, he loves it.
So if you're a young boxer, do you go the Olympic route first? Like, how's it work? Amateur? When do you? I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, push the cart for the horse here, but
amateur. I'm not too sure exactly how it works, but there's a lot of fights before you get into the Olympics.
Oh no, I know, but like the amateur boxing is huge, right? Yeah, and you go.
So he's had a lot of sparring going on, and then they want him to have a fight. He wants his first fight too. So,
right,
I'm looking forward to it.
So where's he fighting out of? Don't say that because we don't want people, you know, creeping him. Maybe he likes it. He's a young guy. Maybe he'd enjoy that.
I won't say that.
But when he's going to fight, if there's a crowd, like, let us know, because I love seeing the fights.
Yeah, will do. 100%.
Is it big though, Jimmy? Like, I know nothing about it. Like, is there a fun amount of, yeah? And do young girls do it too? Women? Yeah,
girls as well, yeah.
Cool.
Women boxing's great. One of the best fights I ever saw was in the undercard to, I think it was Fury Usyk, the first one, I think it was. And I think
bless
it
you.
Was fine. It was an unbelievable fight. You say Usyk?
No, he said Fury Usyk, and I said, bless you.
I think it was that card, though. And I'm not helping anyone here because I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the best fights ever. They just went at it for 12 rounds, did not stop swinging. It was incredible. Women's boxing is brilliant.
Can you talk more about when you were in the ring? What happened there?
Did you win?
What was going on?
Well, it was just charity, right? I did some martial arts and stuff, right? Boxing, a dojo, and
judo chop.
Yeah, I didn't go very far, but with a lot of I love boxing more than kickboxing and karate because my hips don't move very well, so I can't kick very well.
God, once again, Tony's let down.
No, I came out of that ring. And the first thing Tony says to me was, you will never do that again.
No.
And even to the point where my parents pulled me aside, like, they weren't there that night, and then said, listen, we've heard about that, what you're doing. It's great and all, but you have some concussion issues. Stop. Right. You're in your mid-40s at the time. But I wish I discovered it earlier, because I tell you, I've never had the adrenaline rush in any sport ever than I had it for those 3 rounds. And like I said, I've never been more exhausted, and I held my own. If there was a fourth round, he would have dropped me. He was in great shape. He had more experience. He was actually a mixed martial artist, and he would have killed me. But I held my own, and it was brilliant. I loved it. So, yeah, I wish I'd discovered it earlier in my life, like many things. I'm a late bloomer. But, yeah, give it a whirl, Dubs. You'd be a beast in the ring, Dubs actually.
I don't know if I'd be any good.
Yeah.
Oh, you would.
I'd be open to at least trying it, yeah.
Yeah. Great way to stay fit as well.
I just wanted to, I know I came on late, so I didn't know exactly what, and I apologize for coming on late, but last night, Corey Brady made me laugh.
Yeah.
With his, I have also suffered multiple concussions. Your short-term memory is affected. And he tweeted that 3 times.
It was brilliant.
Once again, the app is Brain Eye.
That's Brain Eye. Brain Eye. Yes. Going back to our Thomas Müller, we have one more comment here I want to talk about. Dubs found this as well. It's quite amusing. This is from my boy In the Ghetto. The trick that I keep in mind for the you sound in Germanic languages is to pretend you discovered there's something gross in your mouth as you pronounce the letter.
It was very helpful.
It was helpful, yeah.
So how do you do it? It's the is that the umlaut?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Umlaut, you mean.
In Germanic languages, the umlaut.
And Germanic so it's language. Pronounced how? With that, like...
It's very unpleasant in your mouth. Mm-hmm. So with the umlaut, if you can't figure out how to use it on the keyboard, you just throw the E in there, right? After the U.
Oh.
I think. Maybe Ghetto can let us know that. Is it okay to spell his name M-U-E-L-L-E-R? Or should I figure out how to do the umlaut on the keyboard? It's probably quite easy. It's probably a very easy shortcut.
It is very easy.
What is it?
I know on Macs, you just press and hold the letter and it gives you a variety of options.
What letter do you hold for that?
Any. Like for French, like when I'm writing stuff in French, I just, the accent aigu, I just hold the E and it gives me accent grave, accent aigu. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You can't be that surprised.
No.
Curmudgeonly Charms wouldn't let himself go down that road of learning some math.
By the way, we had some response from yesterday's show about when I went off on people whining about the price of tickets when they're not actually available yet. And I was reminded, and I did know this because we actually spoke about it last week. There are some tickets available out there. Prices being released anyway for the VIP packages.
That's right.
And they are like $2,000. But that isn't just for like single game match tickets. That is for the whole VIP experience, you know. Great tickets, you know, I don't know what you get. Cocaine served to you. Yeah. I don't know what it is. But it was
our friend Dave DiCola.
Yeah, Dave from the DBC and also on the YouTube. Yeah. Which is I we know that, but this is more about the actual match day tickets.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing about DDC's comment where he like let us know that we didn't know that was the way that he presented it. It was almost like no offense, but it was like, you know, I love you guys, but... You
idiots. But we did know that. I got a freaking release last week. Yeah. By the way, I was just Googling, talking to Steve there. So Prince Nassim Hamad, remember him, Jimmy? Yep. Great boxer. He's got a movie coming out very soon about his life called Giants. Looks really good, actually. Because he came from nothing. I think his family, he's born in, I believe, Sheffield. I think he's of Indian descent or certainly of the subcontinent somewhere. Became one of the great boxers. Featherweight, I think, was his main weight, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was great. He was entertaining.
But when he lost bad.
Yeah, he stuck around.
He didn't have a chin. He didn't have a chin.
So wait, Steve said he was a middleweight? No.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So how much do you weigh as a middleweight?
Jimmy would know. It's welterweight than middleweight. So I think 174.
I think 175. 174.
Yeah, 174 and a half is your weight, like your threshold.
Hmm.
So right now, if I get back into the boxing, here it is. Cruiserweight is one. I'd be a cruiserweight. It's 187.
That just sounds cool.
I'd be
a cruiserweight.
Middleweight's 165. Light heavyweight's 176.
Light heavyweight. Cruiserweight. So I'd be a heavyweight. Over 200 pounds is a heavyweight.
Yeah, 190. Well, you know, it's kind of weird because heavyweight's 198, super heavyweight's 198 plus, but you don't really have super heavyweights now. You're just heavyweight, right? I think. Like Tyson Fury would be a super heavyweight, but he's never fight heavyweight class, right?
They're super.
What's featherweight?
Featherweight is
like a jockey.
A jockey?
It's not even on what I'm looking at. It's not even here. Bantamweight's 121. Flyweight's 110. Oh. Lightweight's 132. Shit. I think feathers around lightweight, isn't it?
Oh, that would be me.
Like, but maybe it's different for women, though.
Four.
Maybe it's different.
I'd probably be a heavyweight for women.
Tickle before you fight in featherweight.
Boxing. Love boxing. We'll get Steve back on the show, though. That was really interesting. And FC.
Little bit of Yoda, eh? He was a bit of a Yoda or a Mr. Miyagi with his there's no try.
Yeah.
Do or do not. There is no try. Very, very Miyagi or Yoda-ish.
Yeah.
Great advice, though.
For sure.
I like that mindset, but it's not so easy to get that mindset. You always doubt yourself. It's so easy to doubt yourself. We all do it.
All I do is try. And the opposite.
And Tassie appreciates it.
Yeah. I'm done, honey. I tried.
Does she often give you a tap on the shoulder? You know, nice try.
Yes. I do it myself like Jimmy does. I point at my shirt after. And she's like, why are you pointing your shirt? It doesn't have your name on it. Oh, yeah.
Long around the bag.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I have a little piece of advice for boxing. And I know you guys have done it. And Jimmy, I know you come from like a long line of it, but what I learned, if you tuck your thumbs behind your fingers, it really helps.
That is so funny that you said that there. Because when I was a kid, my brother, I used to get infuriated with him and wind up and throw punches, and he would just make fun of me because I would tuck my thumb. And so it was like, you idiot, that didn't hurt. What are you trying to do? And like the old big brother move, like holding you by your forehead while you're trying to like swing, you know? And they'd be like, Amy, if you're going to punch, your thumb does not go inside your other fingers.
That's even worse humiliating. Than the non-tuck fist, right? You know, the non-tuck when it's like this and you see people like this, like that. You gotta break your thumbs, you idiots.
Jimmy, show me
how you meant to do it.
I want to see Jimmy show me the rapid, fist.
Like, under your knuckles.
Underneath?
Yep.
Like that, yeah. Hmm. Like I got freaking arthritis in my freaking thumbs now. They don't bend properly.
So. Oh my god.
That's a nice fist, Jimmy. Look at that. Look at that fist. That's boxing DNA right there. Look at that thing. That's beautiful, Jimmy.
You gotta keep it straight. Don't bend your wrists.
Yep.
I want to see Jimmy get into a fight. See what happens.
I know.
I'm down to the local on a Saturday night.
Who didn't want to?
Wasn't there some incident at your brother's wedding, Craig, would regale in an elevator?
Yeah, I think there was.
So Craig told this story, and it was something like Jimmy and his then missus in an elevator with a couple of rowdies, and then the doors opened, the rowdies were on the floor of the elevator. Wasn't it?
No, that was in my condo building.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'll tell you that story one day.
Lawsuit's not worth it.
All statute of limitations.
Yeah, they didn't know who he was. Now he's going to get sued.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Just Sharps made him.
I'm exposing where his son's training right now. I'm just screwing Jimmy's life up in this podcast. Before we leave, Chouanier is officially LAFC.
Yes.
Just to rub it into the poor Montreal fans. He looks good, though. Mm-hmm. That's a good kit, isn't it? It's a good kit.
It is.
Nathan Saliba scores his first for Anderlecht.
Yes.
First touch? Was it first touch almost?
I don't think it was first touch, but it was his debut.
Yeah. So, once again, CF Montreal.
I know.
Ismail Kone, he's swallow. Another one.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? They sent a letter to the fans, so everything's fine now.
Yeah. Well, who's worse? Who's doing, like, I know CF Montreal, but this is a whole other conversation. The TFC, who's let more great players go or talented players go? That would be a nice visit.
I would say TFC have let more talent go before they become anything, and then they've become something after. Whereas Montreal kind of lets them go when they're actually really good.
When they should
and
know
then
better.
Justify it saying that it's part of their DNA and their model.
To sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't actually really gotten to TFC since the Italians left, eh? We've been so, you know, there's such a sporadic pod this summer.
Yeah.
We'll get Gemmo on. We'll do a big show on it at some point. But anyway, that's Footy Prime for another day. Our thanks to Steve Najjar, who a really fascinating chat that was. That was great. Tomorrow we have a guest. Don't we, Dubs? She's confirmed, right?
Well, she confirmed last week, but I doubt that she would flake. Rian Wilkinson.
Wow.
Fresh off the Euros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder what she thinks of FIFA ticket prices.
Let's ask her.
You'll love to answer that, won't she? So that's Wednesday, Rian Wilkinson on Footy Prime. Not even on the broadcast, on Footy Prime proper.
Hmm. Well, I'm trying to get her to come on the broads as well.
Okay,
it would be a different discussion.
Claire's available tomorrow. So we're going to have kind of an NSL week 15 wrap. And Claire's available. And we're also going to kind of break down the Euros final. And then I'm hoping Rian can maybe hop on for a little bit on that one too.
Also tomorrow, it may not be on tomorrow's pod. We might play it on Thursday. But we have Dan Nimick of Forge. Forge, man, God, what a season.
Wow.
This is for our boy Tony, by the way, who keeps whining that we don't talk about Forge enough, given their season. And he's right. We don't.
So is he whining if we don't?
he's suggesting that we should.
Okay, there you go. I'm just seeing how you're framing things.
Yeah, he's bang on. We should be talking about Forge more. I mean, it's an incredible season so far, as far as not losing any games. So Dan Nemec, who's been around the block a few times, fantastic defender. Talk about all things football, not just CPL, but all things football with him. And that might drop Thursday, maybe tomorrow. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
But we also, we might have to revisit the Vancouver Whitecaps and me?
Right. Well, our boy Asa. We're going to have Asa on, right?
Yeah, we're going to have Asa. We were texting with Asa last night. So
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Footy Prime. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you like and subscribe. Why are you laughing, Jimmy?
Mueller. I was just thinking $1 Mueller.
Mueller. Like Ferris Bueller, but Mueller. There's got to be some kind of, that could be a thumbnail at some point. We'll play around with that.
A meme.
Ferris Bueller, Ferris Mueller, Thomas Mueller.
Anyone? Mueller!
That could be the announcement with like the old clip for Ferris Bueller. Be like, Mueller, Mueller.
White cap social. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Like, subscribe, 5-star reviews, please. Leave comments. And yeah, that's Footy Prime for another day. Bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Miroslav Klose, 16 goals in 4 consecutive tournaments from 2002 to 2014.
Klose. Oh, that's right. Where's Miller on the old
somewhere.